Hi, everybody. I'm Brittany Lewis with Forbes Breaking News. Joining me now is retired NYPD Lieutenant and candidate for New York State Assembly, Joe Cardinale. The news of squatters taking advantage of legal loopholes that allow them to live in homes without paying rent in New York has garnered national news attention. What do you make of the situation?
This is a very dire situation in New York City, especially. New York City has the 30-day rule. All right, so somebody can actually imagine this. You can leave for a vacation of a lifetime with your family. You're gone for 30 days. You come back and somebody's in your house, your apartment, and they say, well, they have every right to be here. So that you say, no, you don't, and the legal process starts. But the way the laws are written, they could be there up to a year before you even hear this in court. By that time, your property is destroyed. You're out of your house, your apartment, whatever it is. And this is the state of affairs in New York City right now. New York State, it's a little different, but it's still the same scenario. Squatters have certain rights, and they're applying them with illegal migrants and who are committing criminal acts on top of everything else. So that should take precedence over anything else.
I had a conversation with New York City Council member Vicky Palladino, and she said essentially the police's hands are tied here. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And the City Council, we only have a few voices up there. All right, and Joe Borelli being the biggest voice we have up there, you have to sit back and wonder what the City Council is doing. I mean, they destroyed the police department by taking away the indemnification, and they just doubled down on everything that they have right now going on, and they will not bend at all. They are not doing what's in the best interest of the residents of New York City. They most certainly are working on an agenda, and that agenda is costing people their livelihoods, it's costing people their lives. All right, because the crime issue is so bad right now. New York, the NYPD is doing their job to a degree. They're doing their job to the extent they're allowed to do their job. They're not allowed to be the cops they once were. So that's a big difference in New York City right now. And some council, city council members get it, most don't.
What do you think then is the agenda of the city council then?
The city council is the agenda of whatever the Democratic Party wants, all right? And that's the bottom line. You really have to be out of touch not to see what's going on right now in New York State. In Brooklyn, they have all the migrants over at Floyd Bennett Field, all right? That's where the NYPD has their emergency service unit and the aviation unit, all right? And there's three giant tents over there. And they come and go as they please. They're wreaking havoc through the neighborhood. And it's not even summertime yet. It's still, the cooler weather and, the bad weather. Wait until summertime comes and they're really able to get out and get into the neighborhoods. People are worried about it right now. There's civic meetings about it right now. So that translates for one thing right now. The fact that they're here translates to votes. People see them as votes, potential votes. And I know that the governor is trying to get them jobs within New York State so they can pay their way while they're here. But meanwhile, we're funding them to the tune of every tax dollar. We're hemorrhaging money to them, and we're forgetting about our own residents. So it really doesn't make sense to me, but to the city council it does.
From the perspective of a former or retired member of the NYPD, rather, what do you think then is missing from the national conversation when it comes to squatters, when it comes to crime in New York?
The issue is crime. Right now, crime, and the way that people are so emboldened to just go into somebody's house, into somebody's property, and commit crimes and do what they, I mean, look at the poor woman that those two illegal migrants murdered in New York City. She came home and was like, what are you guys doing here? And next thing you know, they steal her car and they wound up catching them down in Philadelphia. So this is the state of affairs, not only here, but it's across the country. And it's mostly at, and you can point the finger to it, it's at liberal-based cities across the country that started the defund movement. They're doubling down on that as well. Now, in some areas, like in California, they're saying, wait a minute, this is not working. Well, we warned you about this a long time ago. What you're doing is going to have, consequences, not just now, for decades, right? Because you dismantled the first line of defense in this country, which is your police department.
I just had a larger conversation with a public defender in New York about crime in New York. Overall crime's down. Crime like rape, felony assault is up. We talked about bail reform, and she said bail reform is working. What's your reaction to that?
What planet is she living on? I mean, are we serious right now? Look what course, Officer Diller, now posthumously Detective Diller, his life. A recidivist that was out there, and they were out there to do dirty work, all right? So, you know, put it mildly. They were there, they were armed, all right? He had plans, he secreted a shiv in his body so that if he did get caught, he knew there's a chance he would get caught, so he had that. And these are two individuals that should have been in jail. But because of bail reform, they're out on the streets. Why? Because before we even get the paperwork done, the revolving door just lets them out. So these criminals should be incarcerated. So I don't know what part of bail reform she's referring to, but for the most part, I'll say 99% of it, it's not working because the wrong people are out on the street. Now, don't get me wrong. Bail reform was put there for a reason. You and I get arrested, all right? We do a burglary, all right? And we go in the house, and I have the means to get out on bail, and you don't. So you sit in jail until the case comes up, and I'm out doing whatever I want to do. That's where they wanted the equity to be, you know, to be fair across the board with something like that. But now you're talking about repeat offenders, violent offenders, felonious offenders, all right, and they're out on the streets. Jails are there for a reason, all right? They're there for a reason. You know, most of the time they do not rehabilitate. They're just there because these individuals are career criminals, all right? I was a career law enforcement. You're a career journalist, all right? They're career criminals, all right? And you can't paint it any other way. And when you get to the point in your life where you just keep repeating the same crimes and you become progressively more violent, all right? You start taking people's lives or hurting people, then, you know, something is wrong. And if this individual doesn't see that in bail reform, that's the problem. That's what people are looking to change right now. I don't know what TV they're watching, but you just walk through the streets in New York City and you'll see what's going on.
You're running for the seat in New York State Assembly District 11. How is this issue, when we're talking about squatters, when we're talking about crime, when we're talking about migrants, how is this all impacting your community?
Everybody is up in arms. All right, everybody wants to know why. In Long Island, we had that famous case. All right, first of all, we had, we have a few famous cases going on out there. But right now, you had the body parts. They dismembered two bodies and spread the parts over the two counties, Nassau and Suffolk. I happen to be running for a seat that encompasses both counties, a little bit in Massapequa and mostly in Suffolk County. So these individuals get caught. They know they said, yeah, we did that. We distributed the body parts. And Ray Tierney, great DA out in Suffolk County, couldn't hold them because of bail reform. So they're out on the street with ankle monitors on, all right, to the extent that they work. And one of the individuals committed a, went shoplifting. So this time the judge remanded her and said, well, it didn't take you long. You have the monitor on and you still chose to do this. So now you're going to be remanded. When people see this and they go, wait a minute, this is right in our backyard. You know, things are happening. They see what's happening in New York City spilling out to the island. And it's getting to the point right now. It's at the point. It's not getting to the point. We've been there where people are saying enough is enough. And they know we need to change up in Albany. This seat being one of them.
So let's say you get elected. What are you going to do? What's your platform?
Right. Well, it's not if I get elected. It's when I get elected. That's the outlook we have. My platform is to change the bail reform and not the way Governor Hochul, I can almost guarantee you, she will come out knowing that everybody's against this. So she'll tell the Democratic Party, I want changes to bail reform. But it's a little too late, all right? And I think what it is, it's a complete revamping of this whole bail reform. It has to be done over. And this time with everybody on board, law enforcement, the DAs, everybody on board, because this way there's no finger pointing. The way it stands right now, and how bad it is, the cops will do their job. I will make an arrest, all right? And let's use the infamous D.A. Bragg in New York City. The cops will make the arrest. He'll look at it and go, nah, I'm going to decline prosecution on that. So it never makes it past his office. Let's say it does make it past his office and goes to the judges. Now the judges don't have the discretion that they have out in New Jersey to the extent where they can remand somebody and say, no, you have to be in. There is no bail for you. You're staying in until this case comes up. So you don't have the 1-2-3 punch we used to have. You only have it at the level of the police department. And that becomes, a problem down the road, too, because the cops are seeing all their hard work go right out the window because nobody's paying attention to it. So you need to get the DAs on board, the sincere DAs. You get them on board. You get the, you know, the police departments on board. And this is across the state. I'm not talking about just NYPD. I'm talking about every jurisdiction. So it's a state law that we can abide by. And now with the complex issue of the illegal migrants, we also need to have the ability to turn them over to ICE, right? Because they should not be here to begin with. And, you know, illegally, all right, there's a process that we have, and they're here bypassing that whole process. But we have so many criminals walking amongst us, we have no idea what they've done in the countries they came from, especially Venezuela, who emptied their jails for us.
So let's go back for one second. You're talking about bringing everyone to the table. How do you do that? Because I really think we're at a flashpoint. And correct me if I'm wrong, because at now Detective Diller's funeral, you saw Governor Hochul get turned away. There was an argument there. How do you say, hey, we need every side to come to the table. We need to come up with a solution. And what does that solution look like?
You know, the face of politics is so bizarre right now, you know, and especially me just jumping into this aspect of my career. I really just see that the other side is basically stoic in their approach. They just do not bend. And the reason is because they have the supermajority up there. They have the trifecta. They have the governor, they have the Senate, and they have the assembly. So now with all that, they're allowed to do whatever they want. So there is no, nah, I tell you what, we'll do this, but if you do this, I want to put this into the bill. So they control it. There is no balance of power up in Albany right now. And it's the same thing. I would not want a one-party rule in the, you know, United States Congress or Senate. I wouldn't want that, all right? That's not the way the founding fathers, you know, built our country, you know, built the basis for our freedom, all right? They based it on fairness, right? There is no fairness right now. Everybody talks about the Ronald Reagan years, all right? Well, that was great because Tip O'Neill could sit down with President Reagan and make a differ on things and then get to the table and broker a deal because it was true bipartisanship. But when you have a cocky one-party system right now that says we'll do, you know, pick and choose what we want to do when we want to do it, and you'll sit by and watch it because you're the minority, that doesn't work for me.
I know that Republicans are the minority right now when it comes to New York State. So is there any chance of conversation, do you think?
There's a chance of conversation if we pick up a few more seats in the assembly, because then we will have the veto power, right? You know, you can sit back and I watch elections, they're bought. A lot of elections are literally bought. They'll put a ton of money into an area, they'll come out, and it's the same old politics. You could say both sides do it, but, you know, I have to say, you know, the Democrats are famous for it. They'll come out and they'll promise everything. They'll promise you the world and they'll hand you a map afterwards and say, here's your world, right? That's not what it's about this time. This time we have candidates that want to go up there and want to make the difference. It's not just myself. There's a lot of law enforcement running across New York State, and it can make the difference. And they say, well, why law enforcement? Why not this? Well, anybody could jump in, but when you have the issues of bail reform and the illegal migration here, and they gel together because there's such a, you know, there's such a fine line between the two, then yes, we do have the answers to that. We do know what direction we have to go. We just have to hope people understand it when we explain it to them. So if bail reform gets back on the table, I want it to be, you know, a standalone. I don't want it to be with anything else. Let's concentrate on just bail reform. Do not bring anything like discovery into it, all right? Because that's another issue that was put down on paper that's totally disgusting, you know, certain aspects of that, you know, and I don't know whether you're aware of it, but if you have a victim of a sexual assault and it's in that person's house, discovery now allows that individual to come into your house with his or her attorney, all right, and go through, get their discovery in the house where it occurred, in the place where it occurred. I know what's behind it, and a lot of law enforcement, you know, they agree with me. They feel that the victim is going to say, I don't want to go through this, and drop the charges. So it's all a game. It's all a political game. And you know what? It's not a game to me. People's lives are at stake. It's time for a change.
So as you know, you are conservative. You are running as a Republican. New York is a blue state. So where do you see the true compromise when it comes to bail reform?
The compromise is, I mean, the voters are the ones that have to make the difference, mm-hmm. because their elected officials aren't speaking for them. When I walk out in the street, right? And I'm going door to door, and I'm speaking to people, and they go, well, I'm a Democrat. I said, well, you're the person I want to speak to. I said, does this work for you? And I spell out my platform. They go, no, we like your platform. So I said, and what's the problem? Well, I'm a Democrat. I said, so you just vote party line just for the sake of voting party line. And they go, well, we have. I said, well, I think it's time for you to change that view. And you'd be surprised how many people say, you know what, you're right. You know, stick to your game plan. You know, we will vote for you. People see it. People are tired of paying extra taxes. They're tired of the crime creeping up on them and then just being dropped on them. They're tired of high insurance rates going across because the catalytic converters are being stolen, all right, or because the crime rate is up and they have to get the money somehow. They're tired of cameras, more speed cameras being put out there because they need more dollars to, you know, fund issues that are not generic to every New Yorker. So it's about time, and people see it. You know, voters aren't dumb. You know, they will come across and they will say, I'm voting common sense this time, and I hope they do.
So what's next for your common sense campaign then?
It's just to get the two sides together. I'm not saying you have to change being a Democrat. I'm just saying if you're a Democrat and you're happy with the way things are, then you're okay with status quo. All right, I know the Republicans and the conservatives, they've had it. And, you know, you look at everybody, you know, that's out there and they're saying, why is this happening? How can our borders be wide open like this? No other country does this. Why are we the ones that just let everybody in? And if you look at the generics of what's coming across the border right now, single males, all right, they're not all families. I mean, you have Chinese, you have the Ecuadorians, you have everybody coming across, and the problem is, I'm not saying people should not come to this country, but like I said before, there is a process to it. And when you don't have the opportunity to vet these individuals and say, well, wait a minute, you committed murder in your country. How are you out? Well, because they opened the jails and said, go, you're not our problem. Go to the United States. And that's a problem for the United States. And it becomes a problem on every town across this country.
And it's been a problem in New York State, as you know, with migrants being bused here. How would you characterize Governor Hochul's leadership as well as Mayor Adams' leadership when it comes to this issue?
Mayor Adams, you know, he's like a charlatan sometimes. I mean, he just comes across on one side, it's like talking to Robin Williams sometimes. You know, like, oh, I want to do this, but I'm going to do that. You know, he's out of control with some of his issues. He professes that we're a sanctuary city. And then when the problem comes here, and he's like, this issue will break us. He goes up there and makes a passionate, you know, plea to New Yorkers, this issue will break us. And then he starts crying to the government, you have to do something. Well, they all jumped on Governor Abbott down in Texas, and this is only a minuscule amount of people compared to what they do down in Texas right now. So, and the reason why I'm very in tune with that is because I speak to the Texas radio stations all the time, and they ask me about up in New York. And they said, Adams coming down to Texas. They wanted him to come there. He said, come on down, come on down. And when he went down, he saw something different. It's time to go against your party. It's time to go against your city council. If you truly want New York City to succeed, then you'll bring the businesses back that ran out of here. You'll open the doors for cops to take the test again because they'll have the indemnification and make the NYPD the great job it once was. I'm not saying it's not great now. It's just that we're losing our great leadership there. We're losing so many cops. They're going to different areas like down south. Let's just get common sense back into politics if you can.
Joe Cardinale, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate your insights. Best of luck to you on the campaign trail.
Thank you very much, Brittany. I appreciate it.